Hey, for last month's Relevant Leader Monthly, we interviewed Rich DeVinny, but we did his entire interview in one sitting and decided to split it up into two parts. If you missed the first part of the interview with Rich DeVinny last month, go back and watch that. But today, enjoy part two to the Rich DeVinny interview. So real quick, just talk about the difference. Just define the difference between a skill and an attribute, just real fast.
Okay, so skills are not inherent to our nature, right? We're not born with the ability to ride a bike or shoot a gun or throw a ball. They direct our behavior in known situations. Here's how and when to ride a bike, shoot a gun, drive a car. And then because they're visible, they're easy to measure, assess, and test. You can score them. You can put stats around them. They don't tell us how we're going to deal with uncertainty, though, because you can't apply a known skill to an unknown environment. This is when we lean on attributes. Attributes are elemental, right? Attributes, all of us are born with levels of patience or adaptability or situational awareness. Certainly, we develop them over time, but you can see levels of this stuff in small children. They inform our behavior rather than direct it. So our levels of perseverance and resilience inform the way we all learned how to ride a bike when we were falling off a dozen times doing so. And then because they're hidden, they're hard to assess, measure, and test. You can't see them. And so stress, challenge, and uncertainty is when they're the most visible. So quick, because they could get conflated all the time, a quick back of the envelope test to determine whether or not it's a skill or an attribute is to ask yourself, can this thing be taught or can I teach it? Okay. If the answer is yes, it's probably a skill. If the answer is no, it's probably an attribute. An example would be, you say, Rich, I want to learn how to shoot a pistol and hit a target every time. Well, I could take you out to the range and teach you how to do that within about 2 hours, okay? That's a skill. Or you say, Rich, I want to learn how to be more patient or more adaptable. I can't teach you how to do that, right? That's an attribute. Attributes have to be, it takes self-motivation, it takes self-direction, and it takes a willingness for that person to step into, deliberately, environments of discomfort and uncertainty so that they may tease and develop that attribute. If you want to develop your patience, you've got to find situations and environments that test and develop your patience, right? That's how it works. So attributes are much more internal. They can't be taught. But they're what really drive all aspects of our behavior, especially as we get down to the kind of like what I call the raw human. I mean, we always say the true us shows up at our most raw, right? Well, the raw human, that starts with attributes. And so to understand our own internal engine, i.e. why and how we behave, you know, at an elemental level, it would serve us to understand our attributes. And again, real quick, all of us have all of the attributes. The difference in each one of us are the levels to which we have each.
Okay, right? So real quick, review those five that you believe are essential for leadership. What are those five attributes?
Five are empathy, selflessness, authenticity, decisiveness, and accountability.
Okay, those aren't skills, they're attributes.
They're attributes.
And you say, hey, you can learn a skill, you can develop, but what kind of advice would you give to any leader to begin developing the leadership attributes to optimally perform? Because they're not skills, but they can be developed, right?
Yeah. Well, yeah. I'll touch on them. I try to give tricks for each attribute in the book because each attribute's a little bit different.
Yeah.
But the idea would be if you want to develop your empathy, you have to more deliberately and consciously try to put yourself into the perspective of another, right? How can I take myself out of my own perspective, forget everything I know and believe, and figure out how this person is seeing the world, right? And feeling about the world. Now, the key about empathy, you don't have to agree with a person to be empathetic. You don't have to agree, you know, just because I don't think you're right doesn't mean I can't be empathetic. Yeah. I can see why you think the way you do.
Yeah.
And I can feel why you feel the way you do.
Right.
I don't necessarily have to agree with it. So, so that's part of it. I think accountability, accountability is kind of easy. I mean, just own it. You know, I mean, accountability, I always kind of joke. It's, humans hate uncertainty. We're always driving for certainty and control. Accountability is just another way of taking control. I mean, as soon as you blame, you cede control of a situation and environment. As soon as you take accountability, you own that control. And now you can do something with it because you are in the driver's seat. If you blame, you're ceding control. You're putting someone else in the driver's seat. In fact, you're putting them in the car and letting them drive away.
Yeah.
Right? And so the same goes with decisiveness and authenticity and selflessness. I mean, you can actively learn what they are, figure out what they are, and then say, okay. And again, most of us we all have this. So the question is, what's my level? Your level might be fine. You know, you might just want to say, well, let me develop this. I could be a little bit more empathetic, or I could be a little bit more decisive or selfless. And then it's also in the context of those whom you are leading, right? What does this group need more of? And that's a question that becomes a little bit more subjective as well.
What did you, that's so good. And by the way, you know, guys, I strongly encourage you, I'm going to say it again before we get done here, but I strongly encourage you to grab this book and read this book. It's so, so good. What were the things you learned about team by being a Navy SEAL commander and just being a Navy SEAL that, and I know it's a very general question, but what were the things that you, that you just learned about team?
Well, I mean, I think team is the most powerful element in existence. I mean, when you get a collection of people working towards a common goal, you suddenly have a whole bunch of different skills and attributes that you bring to a problem. It's more than just, none of us are on an island, none of us can do it alone. We all team up somehow, some way in our lives. And so to be able to capitalize that and conduct, certainly in our case, some very interesting and in many cases dangerous things, and be able to trust each other on such deep levels and know each other's movements and just know that about one another, it's a really great feeling. And so that's probably what I look back most fondly on are those team moments when we were laughing, when we were together, when we were just kind of gelling. We were moving like a flock of birds. It's really quite cool.
Yeah. So, you know, I mean, every person that's listening to this, leader within Relevant Community Church, leads either a team of people or a group of people to try to get toward an objective, mm-hmm. a goal. Now, that objective may be to, hey, pull off what we're doing on a Sunday morning, or it could be this, you know, your T-Life group or their T-Life group trying to get them, hey, what does it look like to take steps toward Jesus?
Yeah.
When it comes to leadership, what can a leader do to foster an amazing team or to kill a team faster than anything? What would you say, this is the thing, like on a positive side that you can do to lift, and this is the thing that will kill your team faster than anything?
Yeah, I mean, obviously the attributes lift up a team. I think if there's one thing that will kill a team, especially as a leader, it's arrogance. Because arrogance immediately assumes and actually just purports to members that you are better than them. Arrogance, again, we have to understand, as opposed to confidence. Confidence is internal. It's I can do this, whereas arrogance is externally expressed. It's I am better than you, right?
Yep. So arrogance, it's not confidence.
It's everyone thinking
I'm better and really portraying I am better.
It's externally focused. Confidence is internally expressed, right?
Yep.
Internally focused. I know I can do this, right?
Yep.
Arrogance is externally expressed. I am better than you. Arrogance comes from insecurity, you know, because anybody who's bent on externally expressing that type of stuff is insecure about something. But it also sends a message that I don't need you. It sends a message that I'll do this. It sends a message that I don't trust you. It sends a message of singularity. And it creates micromanagement and seeds toxicity.
Yeah.
And it's not safe, right? So safety is really what you want on a team. And the way you create safety is you execute those attributes.
Yeah.
And you build trust.
Now, I think what's interesting, I wasn't planning to ask this question because I didn't know you were going to answer that way, but I think arrogance, it's kind of hard to see in the mirror.
Oh, it's like a vampire staring in the mirror.
And I don't believe any of our leaders want to be arrogant.
Right.
So, like, what are some things, if you're saying that can kill a team faster than anything, no one listening here wants to kill their team, wants to kill their group. What are some, like, indicators of, like, this will help, these will help you show if you're acting arrogant, being arrogant, or are arrogant.
Yeah, it's one thing and one thing only. You build a trusted team of people around you who will give you the truth when you need it, right? Because arrogance is like a vampire staring in the mirror. You can't see it in yourself. And so to see those blind spots, you have to create a team that gives you that information and an environment that allows them to feel like they can, right? To say, hey, Rich, you're out over your skis on this one,
yep.
or your head's getting a little bit big, right? So it's about building a team of safety and trust, and then you will inoculate yourself against arrogance.
Yeah.
Because you might even in that great team, you may find yourself at some points leaning towards arrogance, but you have your team to pull you right back in.
Yeah.
Right? If you don't have that, it's a tough road.
Yeah. So I'm assuming that one thing you can see is like if their team doesn't have enough trust to share things with you, it's probably indicating your arrogance that's killing that trust.
Well, it could be indicating a couple things. It could be indicating that you haven't created an environment of safety. It might not be arrogance that's not creating that environment of safety, but you haven't created a safe environment. You've probably rewarded the wrong things. You haven't modeled the behavior that you want to see more of. You're not rewarding the behavior you want to see more of. Even in that case, that could lead then to arrogance, because again, the emperor has no clothes, right? I mean, it's like if no one's telling me, then I think my you know what doesn't stink, you know, and that's how you roll. So whether or not it's arrogance that creates that environment of unsafeness, or it's the unsafeness that then creates the arrogance, it doesn't matter. It's gonna be a rough road.
Yeah, that's great.
Yeah.
All right, I got one question left for you.
Yeah.
Just so we can wrap up our time here, and I really do appreciate your time, Rich. When you're just talking to any leader who wants to just have, you know, just be more positively influential in every area of their life,
yeah,
with their family and on the team they're leading, just more influential, just positively influential. Is there any just couple pieces of advice you'd go, here'd be my biggest advice I'd give to any person, any leader who wants to just have more positive influence, wherever that may be?
Yeah, I mean, I think one of the most powerful things that allows people to feel like they're cared for, i.e. then look at you as someone that they might follow, is empathy. If you can, because this is a hard task too, if you can make an effort to empathize with as many different groups of people or people you can, again, doesn't mean you agree with them, but truly see things from their shoes, and they see you truly seeing things from their shoes, they will listen to what you have to say. They will hear what you have to say. Versus someone who doesn't try that. I mean, someone who's literally coming from their own position. So I think empathy is probably the most important one. It's the toughest one. Open-mindedness is required. Curiosity is required. Work is required. A letting go of our belief systems, of even some of the things we really truly hold and value, at least temporarily, and say, okay, imagine I didn't, you know, value that. What might this look like? I think that's probably the number one thing. Even with our kids, you know, if we can show our kids, and kids should be easy because we were always once the age that our kids are. So we actually have experience at those ages. When you can show your kids, hey, I feel how you feel, especially teens, they will open up to you. They will feel safe, and the greatest gift, I think, and as someone who has teens as well, you can say the greatest gift is teens who will talk to you. And if you're,
yeah,
if you
that's sh- truth.
If you show that you can be empathetic, they will talk to you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's awesome. Well, Rich, I want to thank you for coming and speaking at the Elkhorn Leadership Breakfast. Thank you for spending the time just to speak and invest into our leaders a little bit today. Hey guys, I just want to encourage you, like, truly, I'm not like, I've read it, I bought it. And cause I want to grow as a leader. There's some amazing stuff in here that's going to help you grow and be applicable that, you know, Rich just wasn't able to dive more into during this time together. So from our time together, you know, anything that was said, hey, just want to encourage you, like, was there something that, you know, I could take this one next step? Just take one next step. If you pulled something out of this conversation, take it, because great leaders are the hope of the church. God bless you guys.